sure about the purple gown.
Brings out the colour in your eyes.
Jordan Boothroyd, your presence is requested by Lady Montgomery.
I am yours to command, Mr. Dobie.
What a horrible little man.
He gains your commissions.
Surely not that bloated old frump.
She has three pretty daughters.
Of course. I can catch them all in the one fell swoop.
It will be a crowded canvas.
I need to spread my wings, Judith. I need freedom. I need to be cared for. My talents to be indulged.
Then we must see what can be accomplished.
Jordan, we await your company.
Your servant, Mr. Dobie. Yours to command.
Ah, Mistress Pearson, is your husband not here?
He is at court, sentencing some poor wretch.
Ah, yes, please catch them. The judges hammer down justice.
Do you come to the galleries often, Lieutenant Roach?
Not at all. Mrs. Roach drags me. He seems to be all the rage, this Mr. Boothroy, though I must say the fellow has more than caught your likeness.
The portrait was my husband's idea. He likes to collect things.
I see.
Such as butterflies.
Butterfly?
He has them behind glass, mounted.
That's good.
Yes.
A pastime insect.
They are very beautiful behind the glass.
The heart is an intricate contrivance. In truth, it does not occupy much space, but in matters corporal, when it stops, so, as far as we are concerned, does the rest of the world. It is the seat of moral courage and the source of all affections. Love, they tell me, dwells there, and desire prowls like a hungry beast. I'm not such an idiot that I cannot envisage within myself the darkness of the human heart, its violence and anger, the impulse to murder and destroy, but I find love a trickier proposition. I look out over my city, Edinburgh, and I see the lights shining in the dark. One needs the other, light the dark, God the devil, birth death, and policemen need crime. And so to all of you out there, trembling on the edge of sinful murder, I say, go ahead. I am James McCleavy, Inspector of Police, and I cannot wait to clasp you to my bosom. It is a love of sorts, I suppose. I am reading Sir Walter Scott's Heart of Midlothian, and in it a poor soul, Madge Wildfire, is betrayed by love and driven insane. Her last words are concerned with her own death. Tell me, thou bonny bird, when shall I marry me? When six broad gentlemen, Kirkward, shall carry ye? The glowworm o'er grave and stone shall lightly steady. The owl from the steeple sing. Welcome, proud lady.
Isn't it terrible, Constable? And to think I spoke to the woman not a month past.
Of course, she may be innocent.
Of course, Mulholland, until proven guilty.
But as my Aunt Katie says, if the bush is burning, someone lit the fire.
The papers are full of it. One moment Judge Pearson is putting on the black cap, and the next, dead as a doornail.
I often wonder about that, sir.
Body riddled with arsenic.
Why a doornail?
What?
Why should that be deader than any other nail?
Where is Inspector McCleavy?
Over by the desk. A letter left.
I'm falsely accused of a crime I did not commit. Spied upon, my own servants look at me with sly, accusing eyes. I have no friends. No one to turn to.
But let me plead my case. It was I who insisted a post-mortem on my husband's body because of the sudden event of his death. Why would I do that if I had poisoned him? I was shaken to the core at the findings and fainted to the floor. Is this the action of a guilty woman?
Aha, Mrs. Pearson, it's easy to faint. You just close your eyes and fall over.
My husband was a great admirer of your tenacity of purpose and scrupulous presentation. I fear the Haymarket police will slant the evidence against me, and I have no one on my side. Please help me. If not, then justice will not be done upon this earth.
Yours sincerely, Judith Pearson.
Inspector, a moment of your time, please.
Lieutenant Roach, your servant, I. Charlie is my darling, my darling. Charlie is my darling.
So the wife is suspect?
Yeah, vile rumour has it so.
Dirty deeds in high society, eh? It gets folk going like nothing else.
Well, it's Haymarket's case, Adam Dunsmore in particular. We have more important things.
McMunn's elixir, the infant pacifier.
Exactly. Sold in a street corner to a witless nursing maid who administered it copiously to the twins in her charge, and due to the excess of laudanum in the mixture,
it near pacified them off the planet.
Uh-huh. There have been other cases among the poorer sort. Fatalities loom, McCleavy. You find this man. Find him quick.
I'll try, but these street corner johnnies are hard to pin.
Oh, you claim to know the wines of Leith better than any living being.
Come on, Mulholland. Crimes of state wait for no man.
McCleavy, who sent you the letter?
An admirer.
Is there such a thing?
Damn few. And rodded.
Well, I must admit, gentlemen, there's nothing like getting your name in the paper. Even if it's only Inspector Adam Dunsmore offered no comment other than, the investigation is on course and proceeding according to plan. And by God it is! This will be the making of me. There's nothing like a pretty woman dancing the Perth two-step in the morning air. Jamie McCleavy! What are you doing in this neck of the woods?
I'm conducting a wide reconnaissance.
Searching out what?
A nostrum salesman.
A nostrum salesman. You have to admit, Jamie boy, you're small fry these days.
And you're the big fish, Adam.
Oh, I could eat you up for breakfast.
The Pearson case. You have a suspect.
And a motive.
And what would that be, sir?
They say there is a lover. Have you ever heard of Jardine Boothroyd?
He's a painter of sorts.
Aye, handy with a brush.
No real proof, just a load of clatter.
All right, one wee thing. The night the judge died, he had a heavy cold. The wife was observed to serve him up a potion.
That's the function of a faithful spouse.
Faithful? Well, that remains to be seen.
Come along, Mulholland. We'll leave these Burkies to their important pursuits.
Get after the quack medicine man, Jamie boy. Quack, quack.
Indeed, you do have a face like a duck's arse, Adam.
How's your friend Jean Brash, the body housekeeper?
Thriving, thanks to your custom. Or are you still being paid in kind on the streets these days?
Back to Leith where you belong, James. All the muck rolls down the hill and lands there eventually.
Hannah, what do you truly think to that dress?
It'll cover your nakedness.
I wonder about a different colour. Peacock blue, perhaps?
I'm not going back to these shops.
All right, all right.
3 solid hours I sat there. Would madam like this? Would madam like that? Does madam's back's edge stick out like a coal bunker?
It certainly does not.
I know you, Mistress Brash, and you're bored. First you shop, then you get up to mischief.
Well, I'm still at the shopping stage.
You need diversion. I'd even welcome McCleavy scrounging round for coffee.
The inspector's in the huff with me.
Because you took in that boxing money. Oh, a fine big specimen.
He'd had a hard fight. I was helping him recuperate.
That's one name for it.
Oh, look. Is that not Jardine Boothroyd?
Who?
He has a reputation.
For what?
Catching beauty. Angus, hold these horses.
Holy God.
Mr. Boothroyd. Are you on your own?
A solitary constitutional, Mistress Brash. A fine day, is it not?
It is. It's been a long, long time since we saw you at the Just Land.
Indeed it has. But you have not changed the jot, Mistress Brash. Still pretty as a picture.
This is not a good move, Inspector.
Just observe the butterflies, Mulholland.
Right enough. A fair collection.
What's this one? Very dainty.
That is a painted lady.
Here we are, gentlemen.
Ah.
Please join me. Coffee, Inspector? Constable?
Just water for me, thank you.
Help yourself.
Thank you.
Sugar, Inspector?
Thank you, ma'am.
That is over many.
Mind your own business.
Something wrong?
Not quite to my taste.
At least it's not poisoned.
Mistress Pearson, let us dispense with the politesse.
By all means.
What is your situation?
Under constant surveillance. The servants here, and when I go out on the streets, I believe I am followed everywhere.
The judge died of arsenic poisoning.
Which might not have been discovered had I not insisted upon a post-mortem.
You may have a point. I did not like your husband.
Might one ask why?
He enjoyed too much the punishment he meted out. One young girl, a child, had tried to steal the wallet of a fine gentleman. In the witness box, she cried to break your heart. She had done it to feed her family. It was her first offence. She begged for the court's mercy. The judge smiled and sentenced her to 15 years.
We were the arresting officers, sir.
We were. But I took no satisfaction in that case, none at all. And yet, the judge smiled.
My husband was a cruel man. I often thought that the great relish he found in the collecting of those beautiful creatures was in the fact that once caught, he might stifle their senses and then put them in the killing jar.
Was he cruel to you?
He took his pleasures with other women and made no secret of it.
What about your pleasures?
What do you mean?
There are stories that you may have found solace elsewhere. A cruel husband and new love add up to a powerful motive.
That is a lie. The portrait you see there is by Jardine Boothroyd. I sat for him. He caught my likeness. There is nothing between us.
Well, thank you for the coffee, Mistress Pearson.
The water was lovely.
Oh, can you help me?
It's not my case. Nothing to go on.
Wait. My husband took stimulants to increase his potency. He boasted of it to
me.
Is arsenic not regarded as some kind of
aphrodisiac?
Yes.
It's a long shot.
His doctor can tell.
Doctors are bound by oath. Goodbye, Mistress Pearson.
Is that all you have to say?
The night your husband died, you mixed him a potion. What was in it?
Hot toddy, to help him sleep.
I'm sure it did. Goodbye.
We'll see ourselves out.
There is no one to take my part. I am innocent. I swear to heaven. I beg you, Inspector.
That wee girl begged your husband and got 15 years.
You are a better man than that.
Well, what do you think?
It's hard to tell with pretty women. You'll have noted these types on the corner?
Uh-huh.
Thought to follow, then held back on watch. Haymarket men, we are in deep trouble, sir.
How so?
Word will get back to the lieutenant, and he'll hit the roof.
You could be right. And to that end, I propose we part company. Myself to have a saunter round, you to lawfully pursue the Nostrum salesman.
You have something in mind.
Me? No, just a wee wander.
This is because of Adam Dunsmore. You aim to put his nose out of joint.
A fine officer.
You detest the man.
Not at all. Now off you go, Mulholland. Each to his own path.
I'm not going to argue. On your own head be it. But mark my words, sir. No good will come of this.
I hear those words, Constable, and they strike sparks from the anvil of caution.
Ladies, no one knows better than I the trials and tribulations you face. The children, God bless their wee souls, are not meant to suffer the pains of ague and gum rot. But do not despair. There is a solution at hand, and I have it before me. McMunn's Elixir. Two large spoonfuls and your groaning infant will slip into a harmonious healing slumber.
I'll give the wee bugger four.
And a two will be sufficient, believe me. Now, the price for this elixir, this bringer of peace and happiness, is a remarkably considerate single sixpence.
That's not cheap.
Do I have any takers?
I'll take the entirety and yourself as well, sir.
Who the hell are you?
I am a policeman, and you are breaking the law.
Stand between us, ladies. This man would deny your children the right to a peaceful existence. Stand your ground.
Let me pass. Let me go.
We'll meet again, ladies. There are many nooks and crannies in Leith, and I know them all.
Oh, I have had my knee born. You tricked me.
And you fell over your own foot. Some kind of policeman, you.
What's going on here? Hey, you. Stop making such a show of yourself. What do you think you're doing?
I am doing your job, Constable.
Oh, sorry, sir. I didn't recognise. Not often we see you on your hands and knees. Let me... What happened, sir?
I will inform you at the station. Now, let us quit this female rabble. Come along, Constable. And where is McClavey, if I may ask?
Pursuing other lines of inquiry, Lieutenant.
You ripped your trousers, mister. I'll mend them for you free of charge. All you have to do is strip them off your hurdies.
You must not move, Mistress Brash.
What if I should start to tremble?
Excitement or fatigue?
I really run out of puff.
I have a similar nature.
How many women have you practiced your skill upon?
I've lost count.
Then you must begin all over again.
What a very fine notion. As if for the very first time. One touch leads to another.
Oh, damnation! The door's stuck. I pushed, and here I am. Needs a good oiling, that door.
You could have tried knocking.
Eh? What? Jean Brash, what are you doing here?
What does it resemble?
A pose. You are posing.
Mistress Brash has commissioned a portrait. This is a preliminary sketch.
Uh-huh. The nose isn't sharp enough.
What do you want here, McCleavy?
A word with Mr. Boothroyd.
Perhaps we should stop, Mistress Brash. I would not wish to fatigue you.
As I said, I rarely run out of puff. But Hannah will be back with the carriage shortly, in any case.
Let me assist you.
Thank you. Tomorrow, perhaps a later time.
I shall be all prepared.
Don't forget to oil the hinges. Goodbye, James. Try to behave yourself.
What do you want a picture for, anyway?
So that when I am old and wrinkled, I may look back and see what a beauty I was in my prime.
In your prime?
That is what I have attained, in case you haven't noticed.
You wish to speak with me, Inspector?
I've knocked upon many doors this afternoon. Yours is the last.
How can I help?
A big place you have here, eh?
I need to spread my wings.
Is that a bed in the corner?
Some nights I sleep over.
Useful. What's the aroma?
Turpentine.
Right. Oh. You have a fine collection of wee coloured bottles. Any poison?
Not really.
Pity. Judith Pearson. How deep does it go?
What?
Your knowledge of her.
A commission, nothing more.
I saw the result. She looks out with kind regard, her face soft and gentle.
Perhaps I captured her soul.
Or perhaps she was looking out at you.
I have heard the rumours concerning myself and Judith Pearson. They are untrue and unwarranted. There is nothing between us.
That's what Mrs. Pearson said. Exact same words.
It is simple truth.
Mm-hmm. The picture tells another story.
I cannot help it if women form attachments.
So long as they don't form them back, eh?
Precisely.
A wise course as far as murder is concerned. For what says the playwright, William Congreve? See how love and murder will out.
I don't recognize the quotation.
It's from a play of his. The Double Dealer.
I cannot express my apologies enough, Inspector. At times, I am at my wit's end to know what to do with this man. You take your eye off him for a brief moment at...
Sergeant Murdoch at the desk said you wanted a word, sir.
Indeed I do. You know Officer Dunsmore here?
Old acquaintance. How are you, Adam?
All the better for seeing you, McCleavy.
I am told you have been busy, Inspector, in the Haymarket.
A few wee visits.
One of them to the Pearson house. My men observed you.
As I observed them.
And the other visit was to a certain Dr. Alexander Galbraith, who has written a formal note of complaint, which Inspector Dunsmore has been kind enough to deliver by hand.
That's nice of him.
Dr. Galbraith states that you more or less barged your way into his consulting rooms, tried to prize confidential medical matters out of him, and that...
He had to throw you out on your ear.
I left of my own accord.
What were you after, McCleavy?
Stimulants. I wanted to know if Judge Pearson had been prescribed such.
And what has that to do with the case?
Arsenic can be such a thing.
You're havering, man.
And who told you of these stimulants?
The wife. She wrote to me.
A love letter, was it?
She merely affirmed that she had no faith in the investigation and felt it was prejudiced against her.
You've got a bloody cheek.
Indeed he has, Inspector.
You mind your own business, McCleavy, or by God, I will go straight to the Chief Constable and make official complaint.
You go to hell, Dunsmore.
That is quite enough, gentlemen. Inspector Dunsmore, you may accept my assurance that your investigation will proceed without further interference and that the matter will be dealt with here severely and internally.
That would indeed be most acceptable to me, Lieutenant Roach.
Thank you. And now, if I might ask you to leave us so that I can begin that process.
It will be my pleasure. And hey, McCleavy, as for your precious Mistress Pearson, I have evidence that will show the dirty linen underneath.
And what might that be?
Wouldn't you like to know?
I don't know if I much care for Mr. Dunsmore.
I thought you admired him.
He unbuttoned himself at length before you arrived, and my feeling is that he cares more for his fame than the course of justice.
Oh, well, in that sense...
Stay there. I want your solemn promise to interfere no more in this matter. Otherwise, I shall haul both you and Mulholland up before the Chief Constable for an official action of censure. Well?
I promise not to set foot in Haymarket until I have your permission, sir.
Good. Now, quit my sight, and for God's sake, try not to get into any more mischief.
What are you doing?
I'm in the garden.
It's late at night.
I know that.
Why don't you knock at the front like other clients?
I'm not a client.
What do you want, then?
Judge Pearson. Did he take his pleasure here?
Along with most of the judiciary.
Did he have a favourite wee magpie? This is a matter of urgency, Jean.
Stand your ground or I'll cut your throat.
Hannah, what are you doing here?
Heard a noise and out there came thieves everywhere. Reveal yourself, my money, or it'll be the worse for you.
Gladly.
McCleavy, what do you want?
That's what I've been asking. Hannah, can you put that razor away? It makes me nervous when you swipe a boot like that.
Oh, your wish, my command.
Find Minnie Holmes and bring her to me.
But we're busy as hell. The General Assembly, no quarter given her ass, no moderation.
Is Minnie hard occupied?
On her knees in prayer.
Bring her anyway.
If you insist. Am I supposed to run a decent body house with all these comings and goings?
I thank you, Jean Brash.
I'll come and meet you. Don't wander, you'll put the fear of God into the clients.
One thing more. My coffee tastes like tarry rope. You wouldn't have any of that Lebanese grinding left. What do you cry at? Melting sunset?
I'll melt you soon enough.
Pleasure and pain, Mr. Boothroyd.
What? God almighty! What are you doing here?
I have a key. I entered in. I am yours to command.
Wait. Wait. If you were followed...
Servants were asleep. I left by the back door. No one saw me.
How can you be sure? If we are discovered here, the game is over.
It is the dead of night. Everyone sleeps, save you and me. Oh, put your hand on my heart. There. Can you feel it beating?
You are mad, Judith.
We are innocent. Babes in the wood.
Yes, babes in the wood.
Innocent, save for a certain enticement on your part, which I embraced with great gusto. You laid aside the brush, walked over to where I sat and said, "I admire the line of your neck. It is very beautiful."
I remember.
And then you reached your finger and traced that line down my flesh. Skin upon skin.
Yes.
We are guilty of nothing but love.
Love.
Oh.
I haven't done anything wrong.
No one suggests otherwise, Minnie.
Just answer the man's questions and you'll be back in church in no time.
If you say so, Mistress Brash.
Now, Minnie, you were Judge Pearson's preferred company, were you not?
He appreciated my beauty.
Is that what he said?
Every time he came.
Was the judge a vigorous man?
No too bad, for his age. I had twa gay ups for one gay doon, but that's quite usual.
To that end, did he avail himself, as it were...
Keep it simple, James.
As it were, of stimulation.
Stimulation?
Artificial aids to vigour.
No, not at all.
Don't lie, Minnie.
Well, nearly not.
Tell me a wee thing.
There was a white powder he took. It tried to get me, but I wouldn't.
Why didn't you tell me, Minnie?
I forgot.
I have to know everything that goes on, for your safety.
But he was a judge, and he said it was doctor's orders.
Did he now? Anything else?
It perked him up no end.
You can go now, Minnie.
And the next time some man lays out white powder, you let me know.
I will, mistress. We used to do a game, the judge and me. I would be the butterfly, he would chase and pin me down.
What are you trying to pin down, James?
The powder might well have been arsenic. The judge was apparently murdered by such.
You think he took too much, maybe?
I don't know. Thank you for the coffee, Jean. Most welcome.
I take it the woman in the balance is his pretty wee wife.
It is, Judith Pearson.
Are you her knight in shining armour come to the rescue?
Like yourself with that boxer.
Mm-hmm. That's me, a helping hand.
Your friend, Mr. Boothroyd, may well be involved in all this.
I've heard the rumours, but I deal in hard facts.
Like myself. What do I do if I meet one of the clergy?
Tell them you're the devil in disguise. Good night.
I do believe there was a hint of jealousy in Jean Brash at the end there. It is amazing how petty women can be. Thank God men are above such things. And yet, Judith Pearson's countenance stays with me from that picture, vulnerable like a child caught in a woman's body. What is the truth of it all? What lies behind all these faces? How did the judge come to die? And what is this feeling that I have somewhere missed a sign? I shall return to Sir Walter Scott, a man of the highest literary integrity, never knowingly found in a body who may inspire me with the ideals that virtue may be rewarded and treachery unerringly punished. I will read the book and see what tomorrow brings.
Ladies, the children, God bless their wee souls, are not meant to suffer the pains of ague and gumrot. They cry and howl for you, their mother, to soothe their brows and ease their aching bodies.
They need McMunn's elixir.
What? Step forward, sir. I cannot see you back there.
Here I am.
You're a constable of law.
I am. And I am about to arrest you and confiscate your cargo.
Oh, you want it? You can have it! It'll take a better man than you to lay hands on me!
Better man indeed, and you've just met him. Alec Nimmel, I thought you'd moved to Glasgow.
I came back.
That was a mistake.
I'm covered in the stuff.
Nice smell.
Set up a cloves.
What's the laudanum? Right, off to the station.
I'll leave the poor man alone!
Be about your business, a lot of you, or I'll arrest you. As accomplice before the fact.
Go on, move yourselves.
Well, Alec, I thought Market Day and Leith would be too much of a temptation for a Nostrum salesman, and I was proven right.
I haven't done anything wrong.
You sold this mixture to a serving maid who near killed two children with
it. And at least three more reported, badly stricken from the same cause.
They must have poured it, Dun. I tell them every time, just two spoonfuls.
Let's see what the court thinks.
Wait! The man that makes it up, he's more to blame than me, eh?
Could be. Give me his name.
An apothecary. Respectable.
At the front, no doubt.
But the back room. He dishes it out under the counter. Society doctors come to him. He dishes out the drugs cheap, cash in hand. Nothing official. No records kept.
I've heard tales of such, sir.
So have I, Mulholland.
Well, they come from all over. That's what he told me. Princess Street, the Royal Terrace, Haymarket, everywhere.
Haymarket.
Well, just hold on.
Everywhere.
So, Inspector, not content with invading my consulting rooms, you now interrupt my mealtime as well.
What did you have?
What?
For provender.
Steak and kidney pie.
Ach, I've never been all that fond of kidneys. Taste, I reminds me of the function.
I have already made one complaint about you, sir, but this time I shall go straight to the top. Straight to the top.
Templeton the apothecary. Do you know him?
I don't think so.
He knows you. Mr. Templeton has a premise in the Canongate.
What has this to do with me?
You have certain similarities, Dr. Galbraith, both weak and greedy men.
How dare you?
Templeton supplied large amounts of laudanum to a Nostrum seller called Alec Nimmo. We took Alec to see the man, threatened him with criminal proceedings, and he cracked like a soft-boiled egg.
Well, I fear to see...
That back room was a cornucopia, all the opiates under the sun. None of them noted on his books, all from illicit sources, no doubt.
How does this concern me?
There's a fortune to be made dispensing to the addicts of high society. You get it cheap, sell it dear, and no one is any the wiser.
I hope you are not implying that
Templeton will testify that you were one of his main customers. You will be reported to the medical council, records investigated, the patients questioned.
I will be ruined.
Indeed you will.
There may be some degree of clemency, but that is dependent upon your willingness to offer me cooperation.
In what?
In the small matter of a dead judge.
Excuse me, are you not Mistress Pearson?
I am. And you are Jean Brash.
You know me?
You have been pointed out.
My condolences on the death of your husband.
I came in here to buy a gown. Cheer myself up, but there are so many.
Yes, there are many.
You see that man at the window?
Yes.
He's watching me. Everyone watching.
I'm sure that's not true.
I should go home where I belong. That woman scowls at me.
No, I am the object of her disdain. That's Hannah Semple. She doesn't like shopping.
I should go home.
I spoke with a friend of yours yesterday.
A friend?
James McCleavy.
He is a policeman. I have no friends.
What about Jardine Boothroyd?
Why do you ask?
He began a portrait of me yesterday.
He did not say. Everyone watches me. I should go home. Goodbye.
What was that all about?
I wish I knew, Hannah. I wish I knew.
Judge Pearson was addicted to arsenic for priapic purposes. Galbraith supplied him.
That proves nothing.
It would, however, explain the amount of arsenic in the body.
You assured me, Lieutenant Roach, that McCleavy would be off this case.
I promised to stay away from Haymarket.
And did no such bloody thing, liar.
Galbraith's consulting rooms are in your parish, but his house is up by the university, miles away.
You're worse than a Highlander, McCleavy.
Nevertheless, he stuck to his word, I am afraid, Inspector Dunsmore.
I know she did it. I have proof.
You have suspicion. That's not enough.
You know nothing. One of the servants saw her through the keyhole, the judge's butler. He saw her, dirty trollop.
How so?
Boothroyd and her, in the room together, locked the door, but the servant kicked in. She was unbuttoned, his hands everywhere.
The servant will confirm this?
I have his sworn testimony. She killed her husband to enjoy her lover. I know it in my bones.
What is the woman on trial for, Dunsmore? Murder or adultery?
One treachery leads to another.
You have no proof.
I'll charge her anyway. The world will get to see her, a dirty little trollop.
I'll deal with you later, McCleavy. You may have stayed within the strict letter of your promise, but that's about all. The rest is willful disobedience. You may leave.
Thank you, sir. Quack, quack, Adam. Who'd have thought a nostrum cellar could lead to such a pass, eh?
I hope you burn in hell, McCleavy.
Inspector, may I offer you a glass of water as small compensation for this parlous state of affairs?
Water?
Either that or the station tea, I'm afraid.
Leith is beyond redemption.
Still got your head on, that's good.
The lieutenant is strangely calm. I doubt there's a storm brewing.
You should be celebrating, sir.
Why?
You've put one over on Adam Dunsmore and come out clean so far.
The inspector has hard evidence that Judith Pearson is guilty of infidelity.
Not such a sweet wee butterfly after all, eh?
No, and it provides a motive.
But you have demolished the case for poison.
What was it she said? Beautiful creatures, and once caught,
he might stifle their senses.
Indeed. If Dunsmore comes looking for me with a gun, tell him I've gone to consult an expert on papillonidae.
He won't know what the word means.
Educate him, Mulholland. Ignorance excuseth no man. Not even a dunderheap from the Haymarket.
You have saved my life, Inspector.
Have I? That's nice.
The prospect of being falsely accused, it was almost more than I could bear.
I wouldn't get your hopes up too high. Adam Dunsmore intends to press on regardless.
But I am innocent.
Not quite. He has sworn testimonial that you betrayed your husband with Jardine Boothroyd within your own walls.
Who saw us?
As is traditional in these matters. The butler. Through the keyhole.
The man hates me. He was devoted to my husband. He would say anything.
But is it true? Come along. You owe me some veracity. Just between ourselves. I am your knight in shining armour, after all.
I cannot deny I have some feeling for Mr. Boothroyd and he for me.
Was it consummated?
That is not the matter of accusation. It is murder, and I am innocent.
Not quite.
What do you mean?
I've been consulting with an expert in the field, and he confirmed my suspicions.
As regards what?
Butterflies. Allow me to advance a hypothesis, a story of sorts.
By all means, I like stories.
Let us suppose a wife wishes to murder her husband and comes upon a perfect solution. She will use his own obsession as the weapon against him. When he caught a beautiful creature within his net, the husband would pinch the thorax to stifle consciousness, then pop them in the killing jar. The death would be caused by a fermentation of crushed laurel leaves. Hydrocyanic acid, otherwise known as cyanide. As I say, a perfect solution.
But surely does not cyanide taste of almonds? Sweet, sickly, difficult to disguise.
An old wives' tale. And in any case, the husband has a heavy cold, and whiskey is a powerful masking agent. Cyanide also leaves little trace. And so, to forestall suspicion, the wife insists upon a post-mortem. But a small irony enters the plot. The husband's own addiction provides proof of poison, arsenic, wrong toxin in the right body. No wonder he fainted.
It is a fine story, tragic and yet with a grotesque humour.
That's how I like them. The wife is in a desperate plight, correctly guilty for the wrong reason. And she has a last wild throw of the dice. You brought me into the equation, fed me what you could, hoped for the best and set me loose.
And what you have found has set me free.
I hope not. I shall acquaint Adam Dunsmore with my more recent discovery. He will not thank me for it, but it may trigger another post-mortem and will give the prosecution some bullets to fire.
Not enough. But I'm grateful for the story.
And all for nothing, eh?
For nothing?
Jardine Boothroyd is a shallow creature.
You are wrong. Quite wrong.
Goodbye, Mistress Pearson. I'll see you in court.
I have a body who's to attend.
Don't move.
I met a friend of yours today.
I have many friends.
Judith Pearson. She seemed surprised that you were engaged with me.
None of her business.
That's what I wondered.
I have a talent. Women mistake it for something else.
So? She is one of many mistaken creatures?
It might be so.
And yet, in her face, I saw a moment of such confusion. A deep feeling.
I cannot afford deep feelings, except for what I accomplish. There. Now, close your eyes. The better to see. Wait. Wait. Right. Now you can open them. Well?
It is very striking. Cruel and accurate.
What do you see?
An indulgent, selfish woman.
But a very attractive one. I particularly admire the line of your neck. It's very beautiful. You see? Here on the paper. And here. In the flesh.
I thank you for your appreciation, Mr. Boothroyd. And I shall arrange for an appropriate cheque to be sent and collection of same.
But it's only an initial study.
It is sufficient for me.
Will you not stay a while?
No. To tell you the truth, Mr. Boothroyd, I do not much like what I see before me.
Well, you've made a right pig's ear, James.
It would appear so.
He did uncover the truth, sir.
I must keep that in mind when I next encounter the Chief Constable.
I'm willing to stand before him, Lieutenant.
What for? Showing Haymarket how properly to conduct an investigation? In any case, it is mostly my fault. I should have framed that embargo foolproof. I might have known you'd find a loophole.
Sorry, sir.
Well... We found the Nostrum cellar, brought to book a criminal apothecary and an unscrupulous physician.
think we can allow ourselves a small malt whisky for all that.
Very kind of you, sir.
I am a very kind man. And I am looking forward to my next meeting with Sandy Bell, Lieutenant of Haymarket. He has been boasting these 2 long years to me about the prowess of his station and Adam Dunsmore in particular. Let's see what he's got to say now that we've shown them all up for what they are. Insubstantial.
If I did not know better, sir, I might think you deliberately allowed that loophole to pass you by so that I might continue my meddling.
With your unofficial blessing, Lieutenant.
Now, that would take a devious, subtle and serpentine mind the like of which you are both convinced I do not possess. Here's to justice, gentlemen.
To justice. Judith Pearson was put on trial, and the crush of people inside the court was as vulgar as if for the gaudiest theatre show. They were hanging from the rafters, every eye upon the judge's wife. The little butterfly. She stood at the dock, serene, unruffled, in perfect repose as the dirty linen was well and truly washed, then hung out to dry. The butler's view was teased out in great detail, the passionate fumbling as buttons popped their moorings, and then his rendition of how the couple fell out of sight to continue their frenzy upon a hitherto respectable carpet drew gasps from all sides. Boothroyd was called as witness and blustered denial. But throughout it all, Judith remained calm. With the source of arsenic identified, there was no proof of poison, and no trace, I'm afraid, had been found of the cyanide. Adam Dunsmore cut a poor figure in the witness box, like a vindictive ferret. The verdict? Not proven. That is, we think you're guilty, but we can't nail it down. As soon as the trial was over, Boothroyd fled the city, as I knew he would. But Judith stayed, walked the streets, pointed at, vilified, a marked woman, her face like a mask. I passed her once, looked into her eyes. They were empty, 2 black holes. She had risked all and ended with nothing. I wondered why she did not leave, but perhaps she had nowhere else to go. I imagine she sits at home, with only her portrait for company. She aye looks so innocent in that picture, as if she were deep drowned in love.
In episode 2 of MacLevy, Inspector MacLevy was played by Brian Cox. Jean Brash was played by Siobhan Redmond, Constable Mulholland by Michael Percival Maxwell, Lieutenant Roach by David Ashton, Hannah by Colette O'Neill, Judith Pearson by Emma Curry, Boothroyd by Andrew Clark, Dunsmore by Simon Tate, Alec by Stephen McNichol, and Minnie by Irene Allen. Other parts were played by members of the cast. MacLevy was written by David Ashton and directed by Patrick Rayner.